For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight, we gotta go to the WNBA and the New York Liberty. Breonna Stewart drops 27 points. She was a plus 16. She also added a block, two assists, two rebounds. She was dialed in. She led the team to their fourth straight win. And I know you might not watch WNBA, but somebody listening out there is paying attention. The New York Liberty get their 30th win. They're 30-6. They became the first team this season to reach the 30-win mark. And there's only four games remaining, so they're getting close to playoff time. And as you remember last year, they did make it to the finals representing the East. And this is their second year all playing together with Sabrina Ionescu, Jonquel Jones. Like, I think they'll be better for it. And who knows? Maybe this year, if they meet the Aces or whoever it might be, maybe they can outlast them and bring a championship back to New York City. 888-808-1019. The last championship we had was the Giants. That feels like forever ago. And the Yankees should actually be the team that we're talking about this year with the best chance in New York to get back to the World Series and win the World Series. But I don't think too many of us actually believe that. And so here we are in another football season where Giants fans are talking about tanking, celebrating 100 years, and you just heard Aaron Rodgers, enough with the Pat McAfee. I'm not doing it this year. Like last year, I used to watch Pat McAfee because I felt like I needed to know what Aaron Rodgers was saying to come to WFAN and be prepared. Like, oh, he might come back. Oh, he just had an ad for a new watch. And if you look at the hands on the watch, there's a date for the, like, stop. I'm good on the Aaron Rodgers, Pat McAfee appearances. Hopefully the Giants can go down to D.C. and knock off the Commanders and their rookie quarterback. If they don't do that, then it's going to be a long, long road. And you should start thinking about Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers and Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders and whoever else. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. It's been a minute. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Holding it down. You know, football starts, and it's just there's not too many of those 7 o'clock shows. It's just 11 o'clock tonight. The game ended quickly because Seth Lugo shoved. I was able to get on a little bit after 10. But yeah, you know, back on the nighttime grind.
Yeah, that's why I was able to call up. My parents wanted me in bed by midnight. Now with school back, I said the landline's broken, so that, you know, I don't have my plan B anymore. So. Luckily, I was able to get on with the game ended early tonight because, you know, no more KM names have been rare now with the baseball winding down. But anyway, listen, oh, how sweet it is, you know, with Sunday Masterclass, man. It's unbelievable. I heard you hyping up Minnesota yesterday. You couldn't have been more spot on. I felt like I heard, I actually called in Tevin and Tiki. They were talking about disrespect on the 1.5 spread, and I had to call them out because they said there's a team being disrespected on it, and it ain't the team wearing blue and red.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable, dude. Just because we're the outlier fourth worst team and maybe the best division in football, you could argue maybe the AFC North. Well, not after, you know, Sunday. They all four look brutal, even Pittsburgh with the win. But, you know, aside from the AFC North, the NFC North's by far the best division in the league. Even though Minnesota's the outlier number 14, they're still a pretty damn good team on paper. And I know there's a lot of what ifs. I think I tweeted at you. They remind me of the Mets. I look at Darnold kind of like a Severino deal. Severino's obviously got a better track record, but kind of the, you know, low risk, low reward, you know, looking for primarily looking for the upside on the cheap end.
Man, this Vikings team, I don't know how much you heard me talk last night. I said, I'm going to take the approach to speak for the Vikings. I'll speak for Minnesota because I listened all day about how Daniel Jones sucks, how this defense wasn't good enough, how Shane and Dable are on the hot seat. I'm like, well, give some credit to the opponent. Tip your cap to Kevin O'Connell. Tip your cap to Brian Flores. Kevin O'Connell, who came in the league the same time as Brian Dable, they met in the playoffs. Brian Dable got the best of him and embarrassed him.
Right.
Brian Flores, who also was up for that Giants job, didn't get it. We thought he might get it, being a former New Yorker, being a guy that like we just thought was a shoo-in to get a head coaching job. A lot of turmoil. He ended up suing the league, but like he's still a great defensive-minded coach. Give him props for having that defense ready to stifle Daniel Jones and Brian Dable as the play caller. He held them to 6 points. Like they could not get in the end zone. Like, give credit to your opponent. There are a bunch of journeymen and guys that have been casted off, guys that are undrafted on this Vikings team, but collectively, together, they have a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to win football games.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, they're a bunch of thrown darts, and I'll say this too. You know, say what you want about Flores, the head coach, especially with all the stuff with Tua and him not standing Tua and all that coming to light. He is a damn good defensive coach. I mean, with Pittsburgh, I think he was their linebacker coach. I know that was kind of a one and done. And then last year, doesn't get talked about enough. They had the second most improved defense. The only team ahead of them was the Super Bowl winning Chiefs, where if you want to argue out of the three recent Super Bowls, last year's was heavy on the defense. You know, that basically was what they were riding on in the regular season. The only defense more improved than them last year. And I know they took a big hit losing to Neil Hunter. It was basically a sign and trade with Houston. They bring in Cashman. They bring in Grenard, and then obviously the name you brought up yesterday, Andrew Van Ginkle. How about that pick six, man? It's remarkable.
I wasn't trying to call out Tiki, but as I was listening to Tiki on the afternoon show, he said it was lucky and it was telegraphed and everybody knew it was coming. But yeah, if you look at my Twitter, I strung together just from my mind, my memory. He does that. Van Ginkle, that's like his signature move. If he had a signature wrestling move, it's a pick six on a screen and taking it to the house. He's done it before. I've seen him do it before. I watched him last year on in-season Hard Knocks with the Miami Dolphins, and I learned about his story from South Dakota State to Wisconsin to bouncing around and just not like this guy is a sneaky good player. And the last thing I'll say about it is, you know, Ivan Pace Jr. is another guy. He played for the Miami of Ohio Redhawks, and then he transferred to the Cincinnati Bearcats. Like, there's a lot of these guys on their team that people didn't believe in. They believe in themselves now. And I think that Brian Flores is a master motivator. It did not work with Tua. It did not work, you know, a defensive-minded coach trying to get a quarterback ready. Mike McDaniels, you know, he's got a better bedside manner and approach with his personality with Tua in that offense. But Flores put the battery in their back. Ivan Pace Jr., a second-year guy, this guy is basically unknown. For him to look into the camera, talking to the media, and saying, it's not going to be much of a matchup. I know what we have in this room. That confidence came from Brian Flores, and they went out and executed from the first freaking play.
So that's the thing. They put up Baltimore material. They backed it up. I mean, if you're going to, you know, you're going to talk BS, you got to back it up. They did just that. And another one, too, is Cam Bynum, another young stud, had a solid year last year. He had that game-winning pick against San Fran. One more thing, too, I'll say on the offensive thing. I think Sam Darnold, and I know they didn't play the 85 Bears / 23 Jets on the defensive side, so Darnold's numbers, you know, he wasn't going up against world beaters. But I'll say this. You saw the game Baker Mayfield had against Washington.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you look at, obviously, the whole situation with Canales and everything. The fact that he was able to have a resurgence here, I don't see why Darnold can't, man. They're going up against San Fran. You know who's going to be on the other side of the sideline? It's going to be Josh Dobbs. Look at the year he had with 3 weeks of Kevin O'Connell. So,
yes.
I don't know, man. I don't think it's so much of a, you know, Darnold's cooked and all that.
He's not cooked.
Still some hope
he made some good throws. He was putting the ball into some windows. He knew where he wanted to go with the ball. Daniel Jones didn't know where to go with the ball. Daniel Jones, like, no.
He was a lost puppy, dude. And one more thing. I don't want to go too long. I know you got other callers, but I think I tweeted at you, too. You always bring up the universe never unconnects. We were the ones that kept Danny Jones in the league for two more years. That Donatello specifically, I called up Morish, said two-word answer as to why he's still in the league. And you want to talk about coming back full circle. Brian Flores takes over, and it pretty much looks like all the, you know, the remaining Danny Jones fanboys that were still out there it pretty much looks like the nail's pretty much in the coffin
Done.
Now.
They're gone. They're gone.
There's barely anybody left. It's what, nuts, man.
What
anyway,
a tale of two games against the same team. Thanks for the call, Ross. What a tale of two games against the same team. 888-808-1019. That win against the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs got Daniel Jones that contract. And that loss this past Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, it's damning. It's all you needed to see. But, like, you saw Daniel Jones against the Texans in preseason throw two interceptions, pick six. It's what he is. He's in over his head. He doesn't work with Brian Daboll calling the plays, being his coach. It's not gonna work out well. I'm rooting for the guy. Like, if you've heard me say, he's had a ton of challenges thrown his way. This is his biggest one yet. Coming off an ACL. I saw Micah Parsons taking up for him. Like, get off his back. Don't you know he's coming back from an ACL? People don't care. I thought he wasn't going to get cleared. I thought that would have been for the best. I thought that's why they signed Drew Lock. I thought that's why they paid Drew Lock $5 million. I'm like, what do they know that we don't know? Is Daniel Jones' timeline to return not going to line up with him to be cleared for week one? No, he worked out. And he rehabbed. And he hit the gym. And I don't know. No matter what you do, like, if you don't got it, you don't got it. The NFL is tough. Playing the quarterback position is the hardest thing to do in sports. It is. It is a ton of pressure, expectations. You got to go up against the defense. You got to anticipate throws. You got to read defenses. You got to be tough. You got to take a hit. And now, you know something I noticed the first week? When I played quarterback, a cardinal sin was thrown across your body. A cardinal sin. Every coach that I ever had, don't ever roll right and throw back to the left. Because you're going to throw into traffic, you're going to get intercepted. All these NFL quarterbacks do it now. All of them do it. All of these NFL quarterbacks now throw back behind their body, throw into the defense. When I was coming up playing quarterback, we do a waggle, we do a boot, we do a rollout to the right, and you're going to have some draggers, you're going to have some crossing routes, guys coming from the backside. You're not supposed to look for them. You're not supposed to throw back. You're not supposed to throw across your body. Ever. Ever. Not in the NFL, though. In the NFL, you have to do that. In the NFL, these guys are good enough they can do that. They know where the ball is going. But not all of them. You know, guys like Will Levis might get into some trouble. Bo Nix might get into some trouble. These young guys. But you're going to see Patrick Mahomes do that. You're going to see Josh Allen do that. You're going to see Dak Prescott doing that. That used to be a cardinal sin. That used to be a big no-no for quarterbacks. Do not throw across your body into the defense. You're running to the right. Do not throw back to the left. You're running to the left. Do not throw back to the right. You're not that good. You don't have the arm strength. Just don't do it. Now they all do it. So what I'm saying is, in this NFL, you can't be a sitting duck either. You can't be a Daniel Jones who's just on his first read, sitting in the pocket, waiting for it to come open. You got to throw that ball with anticipation or you can't throw it. And you got to read defenses. You got to smell Andrew Van Ginkle coming off the edge right there to snuff out that screen pass to Wandale Robinson. Either check out of the play, pump it and go, do something. You can't have it. You got to be just better with the ball in your own end zone. He was careless with the ball in the preseason in his own end zone, pick six. And then again, backed up in your own territory. There's certain things you just can't do. And if you're in year six, as a $40 million a year quarterback, and you don't know these things, then you're never going to know them. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Bergen County. Chris is on the Fan.
What's going on, eh? How are we doing tonight?
All right, Coach. Good timing that you called. Just as I started going in on some of that, coach speak about cardinal sins and rules for quarterbacks and things you can't do. And some guys in the NFL can do it. Some guys can't.
I was just going to say that. Now, that Ginkle play is a perfect example, okay? And what I want to get to is we kill teams and we kill talent, but we never talk about talented coaches and coaches putting that talent in the right positions to succeed, okay? Jets are a perfect example, okay? There are great players on that team. But let's go back and let's look at this coaching staff. Is that coaching staff really that good?
No.
Do they match with the talent that they're trying to punt.
No.
And, the Van Ginkel play is a perfect example, okay? That's something that should have been brought to Daniel Jones' attention in a film work class. When you sit in a meeting, those are things that coaches, good coaches, will pick up. Oh, that's the guy that, just remember, he's always looming.
Yeah, and this outside linebacker, he tries to intercept the ball. Here's multiple clips. I found them on Twitter. There's multiple clips of this guy trying to smell the ball and intercept it. So you know what you do to him? You pump fake him, and then you run at him. Once he gets off his feet in the air, you run at him.
And I'm not taking anything away from you, but if a talk show host can see that and has the wherewithal to understand and say, hey, wait a second, I know this, you know what? Where is that defensive coach?
I was calling for them to sit Daniel Jones right now. After he threw that interception, I'm like, I'm taking him out of the game right now. But who do they go to?
I've seen high school coaches get fired for less than that.
Right. You can't cost a team. You can't do that. Backed up in your own territory.
No, the ball
is precious.
No, you cannot.
You cannot give it away and give the other team points.
No.
And when you do that,
it's unsustainable.
It kills the defense. It kills everybody around you. The game was over there. And, you know, when you talk about the Jets, Rob Saleh, him having the reference of coming from the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, it didn't mean anything. That is the master versus the pupil. That is Kyle Shanahan is the master.
Absolutely, 1,000%. I'm going to leave you with one last thing, okay? When you see a person with their arms crossed, what does it mean? What is the nonverbal? That they are closed off and they don't want any engagement, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What does Rob Saleh walk up and down that sideline every single week doing?
I don't know what the hell he does, honestly. I don't know how much he's coaching the defense. I don't know how much he sees in-game. What was their adjustment at halftime?
Well, it's okay because they didn't make any adjustments, obviously.
There's nothing they could do to stop the run.
You saw what happened.
There was nothing they could do. And Nathaniel Hackett is damn lucky that he's got a good relationship with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and here's the other thing. Everybody's been calling for Saleh's head. Get rid of him. Well, they did last year when they brought Rodgers in. They brought the new head coach in. That's who's running this team.
Rodgers is running the team. Thanks for the call, Chris. Rodgers is running the team, but like what Chris is getting at is they ran it back with these coaches that were just willing to crash and burn last year. Dalvin Cook signed with the Dallas Cowboys. And the reporters from Dallas asked him about the Jets. And he told them, now that he's not with the Jets anymore, once Aaron Rodgers went down, there was no plan. It's like we didn't know what to do. How come all of these other coaches from Zach Taylor with the Bengals, they lose Joe Burrow, they figure out what to do. Kevin O'Connell loses Kirk Cousins, they figure out what to do. Shane Steichen loses Anthony Richardson, they figure out what to do. Kevin Stefanski loses Deshaun Watson. They need to lose him again. They figure out what to do. Because these games and these weeks are precious in the NFL to all of us. You can't just go out there and do whatever. You can't just go out there and get your ass kicked and not adjust. You can't just go out there and, guess we lost the game. We can't stop Jordan Mason. We can't. You better figure it out. You better do something. You better stack the box. You better make Brock Purdy beat you. But there was no answers. There was no answers. So, you know, at every level, coaching matters. And when you have the roster is really only as good as the guys putting together the scheme and the game plan and the guys that are not on the field. Being on the field is hectic. Not all of those guys can be on the field and process everything that's going on. Not all those guys can be on the field and see everything that's going on. That's the coach's job. And like even with the Giants now, you got Daboll calling the plays on the ground. Maybe they should go back to Kafka at some point. They shouldn't be married to Brian Daboll calling the plays on the field because I don't think it's working. And I think there's a lot of propaganda around like how much he knows. And they just go through the motions with like having Daniel Jones out there the whole game and when to go for it and not go for it. And it just always seems like Brian Daboll is trying to prove something and it just never gets proved. 888-808-1019. At the highest level of competition, the coaches matter. The managers matter. You can have Juan Soto. You can have Aaron Judge, Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe, Rizzo, all of these guys. But you need a manager that is rocking right there with them in the game. You need a manager that has an eye for the game, a head for the game, that is obviously getting at the umps. The Yankees have a manager that will get at any ump. He does that more than anybody. But also has to be watching the pitching, has to have a feel for the game, has to know the heartbeat of the game, and what's right for the team at certain times. That's going to come up. I've seen Aaron Boone get outmanaged. He can't get outmanaged this year. People will be calling for his job. If the Yankees, with all of this talent, which now you see some pitchers come back, they got enough pitching. They've got enough pitching, they've got enough hitting to get through the American League this year. Aaron Boone cannot be what stops them. 888-808-1019. Mario in Long Beach on the fan. Thanks for holding, Mario. You got it.
What's going on? Nice talking to you, buddy. How's everything?
Good, good. You know, now we're on, you know, coaches and here in New York, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Tommy T over there with the Knicks gets enough credit for how good of a coach he is.
I got a quick thing on the Yankees and then on the Giants. First of all, the Yankees today. Today's game was tough, but Seth Lugo pitched a great game.
Yes.
You got to give the guy credit.
No, you took
were you
cap.
Looking at his stuff? I was watching
I was.
The game.
And
he was lights out.
He was in complete control. He was putting the ball wherever you wanted it. Cutter, sinker, curveball. Like the two strikeouts of Judge, I'm just like, damn.
And Judge happens to be in a slump right now, too.
But he's still Judge, and this guy was not worried about him. He struck out multiple guys. Soto, Rizzo,
yeah.
Volpe, Chisholm, he had everything going.
Exactly. So sometimes you got to tip your cap to the other guy. They get paid too, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to tip your cap and say, hey.
Absolutely.
Right?
It was his night.
Yeah, and I don't think they did anything wrong. I mean, they didn't have bad fielding plays. They just didn't hit.
They didn't work a walk. They couldn't get an extra base hit. They had a historically bad night. They just made history, the first Yankees team with zero walks, zero extra base hits, and 14 strikeouts. Like, that's an all-time bad night. And he did come out after the seventh inning. I literally told one of my boys, hit me. He was like, yo, you're at the game? I'm like, nah. And he's like, I'm still here. I'm not leaving. I'm like, yeah, we'll see it through. Definitely see it through. Maybe we get to their bullpen. Nope.
Well, I mean, for the first seven innings, he wouldn't let anybody walk. He was throwing only strikes.
He had 10 strikeouts. Gleyber Torres was the only one able to sneak two bloop singles by him. Austin Wells with another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
But like, you could see him in the postseason. They could throw him. They could throw him against. They would throw him in the postseason. They might throw him twice if we end up in a DS against these guys or something.
You know, getting to the Giants. You know, with Daniel Jones, I agree with everything you say. And sometimes Tiki is funny because he's an ex-Giant and he used to like Daniel Jones. Sometimes I don't believe he's really, you know, he's not objective sometimes because he likes the Giants so much.
Oh man,
what he was talking about.
The Dallas Cowboys.
He was saying one time that thought he was top 10 in the league and maybe he'll go to top 5.
There is a video from WFAN where Tiki was kind of alluding to taking Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott. And they use that on Cowboys Twitter, the Cowboys reporters, the Cowboys vloggers. YouTube. They use it against Tiki Barber every chance Daniel Jones, every time Daniel Jones gives him a chance. They remind people that Tiki Barber said he would take Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott.
You know, and the year when they won that playoff game, that's how he got his contract, right? He only threw 15 touchdown passes. That was like 25th in the league. And if when I look back at it, for as much as we say Barkley's been hurt a lot, well, not really. The last 3 years, he's averaging 14 games. And over the last 2 years, including that Minnesota game in the playoffs, which he scored two touchdowns, he averaged 1,300 yards, total offense and 10 touchdowns with a terrible team with no offensive line. That guy's great. They should have found a way to keep him.
Yeah, they definitely should have put more respect on him. He was the entire offense and team. When you needed a first down, when you needed a two-point conversion, when you needed a spark, he did it. He took a beating. He took a lot of hits. It's hard to stay healthy when you're getting tackled that much. There were so many games.
One last thing. Yeah.
They're handing him the ball 30 times. That's a lot.
Yeah, one last thing. Imagine if they had neighbors in him. Now you got two dynamic playmakers, and then you build around that. You know, that's what I think you should have done. Thanks for taking my call, and have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Mary. I remember talking about when it was him and OBJ, where it was like, okay, pick your poison. You're going to have an extra guy out there in coverage against Odell Beckham Jr. You're going to have an extra guy in the box to stop the run with Saquon Barkley. I don't know, man. Mistakes are made. Decisions are made, and we don't know who's right or wrong until they come to fruition. We also don't know, you know, what's going on this season. A lot of this is off of one game. It's a bad start. It's a bad debut. It's just back-to-back bad debuts at home for the Giants. 888-808-1019, and it's the post-Saquon era, and it's Shane and Dable, and they are going to, like, if Saquon has a huge year and Daniel Jones is terrible, they got to live with that. They got to wear that. These are decisions that they made. Like, the whole, like, it's not just us on the fan. It's not just this area anymore. Like, nationally, I follow this guy, Chef Geech. Chef Geech, actually, is his name. He's a rapper, and he's a Detroit Lions fan, and he does these, like, NFL recaps. And in his NFL recap this week that came out, he had a bar about, you know, the Giants telling Saquon to do better or something along those lines. I got to go find it. Like, what I'm saying is, like, people are all looking at, like, wait, the Giants drafted this guy. He said he wanted to stay a Giant. They told him to go. Like, we all saw it on Hard Knocks. The whole country watched Hard Knocks, bro. Everybody that's a fan of the NFL watched the first ever off-season Hard Knocks and saw how that all played out. And so people are like, wait, y'all chose to pay Daniel Jones the year before, and then when it was time to pay Saquon Barkley, you told him to go out there and test free agency, see if you could do better. He found better with your division rival, and you let that go down? You didn't fight that? You didn't try and do better and get him to come back? That's going to come back and bite you. That's going to come back and haunt you. Daniel Jones is not it. Devin Singletary is not it. The Eagles got a lot better with Saquon. I literally was watching that game, and I'm like, man, running back is a quarterback's best friend. A good running back is a quarterback's best friend. And he's going to bail Jalen Hurts out. Jalen Hurts had 3 turnovers, 2 picks, and a fumble. It's all good when Saquon can score 3 times. Y'all told Saquon Barkley to do better and just settle for less is the bar. It's tough, man. We got a long season to go. Long NFL season to go. But the whole NFL is looking at the Giants saying, how the hell did you give that contract to that quarterback and let Saquon Barkley go to your division rival and you come out and lose 40-0 last year with him, and then this year you come out, I don't even know what the final score was, 28-6, something like that. I stopped watching that game. I started watching, you know, obviously, you know, 1 o'clock game. You start watching the game, but then it's red zone. That game was over so fast. The first drive was so pitiful. I'm not watching this whole game. I'm watching red zone. This is sad. This is not good at all. I posted on my Instagram and Twitter, NFL football back in New Jersey. Nah, that was bad. Yeah, I was right, 28-6. The game was... It was never a game. It was never a game. So you move on to the Commanders, and, like, not for nothing, if you guys weren't paying attention to Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, they actually were able to score 20 points. They actually were able to get in the end zone. They actually were able to make it somewhat of a game, but that's a rookie quarterback in his first game. He's only going to have more confidence. That was a rookie quarterback that put up a lot of offense. He had 88 yards on the ground, 184 through the air against the Buccaneers, who were a playoff team last year. it's not a guarantee because you've had past success against the Commanders. It's not a guarantee that because Daniel Jones has played some of his better games and gotten some wins down there at FedEx Field that they go down there and beat this regime with Dan Quinn and Austin Eckler and Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner. And, you know, there's a couple new faces down there. There's a couple, you know, different guys down there trying to prove something with you know, this new Commanders team. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to talk about the Yankees again. I love the team. I love the history. I love the franchise. I love being a Yankee fan. But this year, man, the opportunity that they had to get fat on below 500 teams, they weren't able to do it. They just kept telling you that you were stupid and that they know better with Clay Holmes, with not playing Austin Wells, with forcing DJ LeMahieu out there and not calling up the Martian, and that really just took the wind out of my sails. And now I'm at the point where I'm not even beat to drive an hour to the stadium and fight traffic and do all that. I'm just going through the motions till we get to the postseason. And the postseason is a new season. Like, I will be rah, rah, yeah, you know, pom-poms in the air. Yankees are going to win until they let us down eventually. And, you know, we come back down to life, and then we're on the fan talking about where they fell short. And I'm sure you're going to be able to connect the dots and draw the lines back to things that we saw in August, in September, and now we're 17 games until October, and here's the lineup you all wanted. And Seth Lugo dominated that lineup today, but they'll be better. They'll be all right. And, you know, they have time to figure it out. And for the Mets, it's about to get super real. We'll do that when we come back. Look at this upcoming schedule for the Mets. I know the math isn't great. You got to really believe here, and it is tough. One of my boys said, man, a 9-game win streak, and just a couple days later, we're just tied for the third wild card. But anything can still happen. Keith McPherson on the Fan until 2 a.m. It's a little bit after 12:30. Wide open for calls. I cleared all my calls. 888-808-1019. If you'd like to chime in on the Giants, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, the Yankees, led by Aaron Boone, with their postseason-ready lineup going out there today, and Seth Lugo shutting them down. Hopefully that's not the case with Cole Reagans on the mound and Luis Gil trying to add on to his you know, second start from, you know, his return. And, yeah, the Mets, they got to win this last game against Bowden Francis, who's been excellent as of late, with Sean Manaea on the mound, and then obviously some huge tests coming up with the Phillies and the Braves and the Brewers down the stretch. And maybe I'll get to some Jets thoughts too, as the Jets must win. Like, you can't lose to the Titans. But the Titans had some gusto about them. They came to play against the Chicago Bears, but they just gave them the ball and turned it over and bailed them out. So Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you'd like to talk sports, if you'd like to add anything to what I said, if you want to disagree with anything I said, call me up. Don't go anywhere.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll be back right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, let's get it. Dial the number, 888-808-1019. Hit the line if you'd like to say something on the Fan. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking you till 2 a.m. C-Mac will come in and do the overnight, and we'll keep rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling, and next thing you know, it's week two in the NFL. That's what's great about football, right? When football comes back, you have Monday night football, and then you only have a couple of days in between until they make those guys play Thursday night football, and you've got a couple of baseball games in between, right? We've got a couple rubber matches, and good. Next thing you know, next month will come, we'll have preseason hockey and basketball, and you'll have all you can handle in the sports world. I call it the most wonderful time. I'm not that into the holidays and Christmas as the most wonderful time. For me, the most wonderful time is when I can flip through a bunch of channels and there be something I want to see in every league. 888-808-1019. As I look at my handy-dandy FanDuel app and I see the New York Jets are 3.5-point favorites on the road, well, I think that's doable. They came out of the game healthy for the most part. I don't know about the defense. It's week two. They go on the road. They're going to be playing in Nissan Stadium down there in Nashville. It's a must win. Can't stub your toe against Will Levis and Tony Pollard. Even though I do have respect for that Titans defense, first-year head coach, they got to go down there and put up points and win. The over-under is only 40. Need to see the Jets score, 20 to 30 points, 25 to 23. I don't know. They just got to come out with the win. 888-808-1019. Matt is in Woodbridge on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. I listen to your show a lot coming home from work, and I appreciate all you do. And I just want to talk about how Saleh and the Jets, that was very disappointing seeing that yesterday. You know, everything that they talked about over the course of the season, that, the defense was going to be elite and everything. And just with him being a coach in San Fran, and he had no answer for anything yesterday. It was very frustrating.
That's definitely frustrating because that's where you got him from, right? San Fran's been good for years now. And you got him from them thinking, hey, if we can take from what they do, if he can bring some of that culture over here, the defense has been good, but I don't want to give all that credit to Rob Saleh. I think we are too quick to say that he's a defensive mastermind. I think we're too quick to say that the Jets defense is elite. What was that? What was that Monday? That wasn't elite. That wasn't a masterful plan and performance.
What was the adjustment at halftime?
If you're a defensive guy and you're back to your old stomping grounds and you should know that offense and know that offensive coordinator and know what Kyle Shanahan does and how he changes his formations and puts guys like, I don't know, you got to have some kind of answer. They had no answer.
To have no pressure on that quarterback yesterday and for him to sit there today and say that the defense isn't going to be a problem, I don't know, man. That's all I wanted to say. I'm just very disappointed as being a Jet fan.
Yeah, you got to move forward. It's a disappointing week one. Thanks for the call, Matt. It's also a disappointing week one because of the weight, because of what you had to go through last year. Last year was supposed to be the year Aaron Rodgers had ended in 4 plays. Then you had this whole long offseason where they made the right moves. You had this draft where they drafted some good players. And a lot of hype where, myself included, I know I did a Bleacher Report stream, top 10 rosters in the NFL. I think I had them at 10. And I remember people saying to me in the stream, no way, they should be higher. And I'm like, based off of what? Names? What have they won? What have they done? And then when we talked about the Jets, I don't know how many pundits pointed to what could stop them, what could hold them back. It being the head coach and the offensive coordinator. And when they collapsed last year, you just heard me rattle off the names of Kevin Stefanski, Shane Steichen, Zach Taylor, these other head coaches that found some success with backup quarterbacks. Won games. We're in it. We're close. Right? The Browns went to the playoffs. The Bengals won some games with Jake Brown. The Colts were right there with Gardner Minshew because those guys didn't just look at it and say, we lost QB1, all is lost. Dalvin Cook told you that the Jets, when they lost Aaron Rodgers, they didn't have another plan. They should have, because I don't know how you can go through a whole training camp with Zach Wilson as a quarterback number two and not lose sleep at night. I do remember talking about that on the film. When we were talking about the roster last year, one of the glaring weaknesses is you're one play away from Zach Wilson being your starter again. Happened to be four plays away. So a lot of the disappointment is you had to play on Monday night. It was a standalone game, primetime game for the world to see. And you thought you were in their weight class. You were not. They settled for field goals, but they scored. Like every drive, they were in control of the game for the most part. I mean, the Jets took a lead, and I think that was it. That was like, I know for me, it was refreshing. I tweeted out, awesome, the Jets. Like just to see them answer back, just to see them put a drive together, just to see them convert first downs, just to see Aaron Rodgers know what to do with the ball. Like obviously Aaron Rodgers knows what to do with the ball, but to see a Jets quarterback not go three and out, to see a Jets quarterback know where to put the ball, know where to like read a defense and deliver the ball. Garrett Wilson, every first down was Garrett Wilson, man or zone. Garrett Wilson was finding open grass and getting the ball. And I don't know. I feel like you got to have some optimism. You got to kind of shake it off because you do have Aaron Rodgers and he will be able to get better. And like you got to think about the fact that Aaron Rodgers didn't play for a year. It's a long time to go without playing any football. So big test here. One, they got to bounce back a short week because they played on Monday Night Football and you have to travel to Tennessee. So that's already a big test. Can't lick your wounds. Can't feel sorry for yourself. If there's any worries about conditioning, well, you better run some extra sprints after practice. Get ready to go. The Titans were in that game against the Chicago Bears where their fans were thinking they were going to win the game. I know I took the Titans. I know I had some bets on the Titans because I was like, we can't just assume Caleb Williams is going to ball out. And he didn't. That was defense and special teams and mistakes by Will Levis and the Titans that lost that game. This is their home opener. The Jets can't just waltz in there and expect them to lay down. They've got some guys on offense and defense. It's going to be a good game. I don't know. I can't predict it. I can't predict the score. But I know that the Jets' offense and definitely the defense has to be better. I heard C-Mac come on last night and talk about, like, you know, people lean into, oh, now the book is out on the Jets. No, it's not so much that the book is out on the Jets. Everyone cannot duplicate what the 49ers did. No, most teams can't. That offensive line is monstrous. The guys that they have on that offensive line, everybody does not have. And Jordan Mason, even though he's a backup, he's a pretty solid running back. But what it is, it's a copycat league. It's a week-to-week league. So the Titans are not watching any preseason film to get ready for the Jets. They're combing through that week one film and seeing what works. Or what worked, and seeing what they think in they have in their offense to run against that defense. And I'm telling you, with Tony Pollard, they're going to try and run the football. With Tony Pollard, they're going to try and duplicate some of the things that they saw the Niners do. They can't run it exactly, but they're not going to. I don't think they're going to expect Will Levis to carve up the Jets' secondary and defense. I think they're going to try and run the football, and so the Jets will be tasked in week two with seeing if they learn from week one. Rob Saleh will be tasked in week two. Jeff Ulbrich will be tasked in week two to see if they have a plan to stop the run. Riveting. Can't wait. Connor's in Massapequa. What's up, Connor? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on? Love the show. Longtime listener. Wanted to call him about the Jets. Honestly, yesterday was the perfect example of what the Jets need to do, and that's to sign Hassan Reddick. I mean, at a certain point, this is the year. We got to pay the man. We got to pay him. There was no pass rush. The defense wasn't good, and the score was way better at the end than the whole game. The offense looks like, you know, we can score some points, but we got to pay Reddick. You know, at a certain point, we got to pay these guys to win. We only got, what, a two-year window to be competitive? What do you think?
I think that he gained some leverage because if they actually went out there and won, or if they lost but didn't give up 400 yards of offense, then the narrative would be, don't need him. But clearly it looks like they could use another guy up front. You know, Quinnen Williams was playing some DN, and when Brian Baldinger put out some clips of the Jets' defensive line getting manhandled and pushed around, Hassan Reddick is getting up there in age. I think the more he doesn't play, the less ready he's going to be able to play. He's more of a pin your ears back, go get the quarterback, edge rusher, sack guy than a run stopper. But like, I just think, you know, if we're talking about leverage, it you know, it played out in his favor wherever he was, that he didn't show up to take part in that. They might have to reconsider, but I also don't think they're going to reconsider. I don't think that they're going to pay this guy. They have guys that they drafted that have already played years for them that they have to pay. My initial take on it when it happened, I remember my initial take was, you guys are worried about Aaron Rodgers being in Egypt. Where's Aaron Rodgers? You should be worried about where's Hassan Reddick. And then my initial take on the Reddick thing was, trade him again. Like, just act like this never happened.
Really?
I was saying get rid of the problem. Like, he's never played for you. He hasn't stepped foot in the building type thing. Like trade him again and let somebody else worry about it. But I don't think they're going to do that either. Like,
it's been 13 years since we made the playoffs.
Yep.
Last year was a big hype season. Rodgers tore his ACL. I'm not worried about Rodgers or Breece or Garrett. You know, these guys are going to get their points, but the Jets' identity is on the defense, and it looked terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
like I said, it was, you know, master versus the pupil, student versus the teacher. Shanahan knew exactly what Rob Saleh and Ulbrich were going to do, and he schemed the run game to absolutely dominate them. There was plenty of run lanes off the edge, up the middle, and then Brock Purdy, when he had to make a couple throws, he was sitting pretty, just floating the ball where he needed to float the ball to. He had some drops. They could have done more damage.
And it wasn't even McCaffrey. It was Jordan Mason. No disrespect. He's a great running back. But if it was McCaffrey, God knows what could have happened. Could have lost 60-10.
I mean, I guess McCaffrey would have rushed for 200 yards versus the 147, almost a buck 50 that Jordan Mason put out there. Did you see the clips after? Jordan Mason told the post-game interviewer that he knew Friday night he was going to start. And then Shanahan told the media, I didn't tell him that. And I'm like, this is so goofy. This is such nonsense. He said he took all the first team reps all camp. McCaffrey hadn't practiced all camp. So would they, like,
you know what,
know.
Though? That's a great problem to have. I'll take that problem right now. Yeah. That's okay.
It's a great problem to have, but I just think it's corny that, like, you know, Shanahan's trying to play these games with the media and, like, even with the Jets. Like, oh, he wasn't on the injury report Saturday, but then he gets scratched before the game Monday. They knew they didn't need Christian McCaffrey to beat the Jets. But, like, why not let that young man who was undrafted out of Georgia Tech, you know, get his shine and not kind of throw him under the bus? Like, nope, that's not true. That's misinformation. That's not what happened. Like, the kid said he knew Friday night he was going to start. He probably knew the week before because McCaffrey wasn't taking the reps.
Yeah, and you got to appreciate his honesty, too. He's just telling everybody what he thinks. He's not, you know.
No, he wasn't playing any games. He said he knew Friday night going into the game, going into the week of football, that he was going to start, man. Like, when they're going through walkthrough, if Christian McCaffrey's not going through the walkthrough with the ones, then obviously it's on you, young man. And he took full advantage of that. I'm happy for him. I hate how it played out after the game, where his coach tried to make it seem like, oh, he's lying. I didn't say that.
And last thing about playing games, I think Joe Douglas is the best GM the Jets have had in a long time. They should put a statue for him. He's made some great picks. He's getting there. But we got to sign Reddick.
You got to win. What are we talking about, Connor? We're not building statues for guys that haven't won 7 games.
I know.
Making the picks. He also picked Zach Wilson. He also picked Mekhi Becton. Hell no. We can't make a statue for Joe Douglas.
I know. I'm just being optimistic.
McDonald. That's Will McDonald was your first round pick.
Yeah.
You can't make a statue for that.
I know. Let's hope for a playoff season, and what can you do, you know?
Yes, you hope for that. Thanks for the call, Connor. 888-808-1019. I've been saying it's not a Super Bowl season for the Jets. They're not a Super Bowl contending team. This team should be fighting for a playoff spot. This team should have eyes on ending the drought. And then if you're healthy, then if you become a championship caliber team on the way to the playoffs and you get some luck and, I don't know, the chips fall where they may, where you could find yourself in a Super Bowl, great. But you're not a Super Bowl contending team with a 40-year-old quarterback that won a Super Bowl in 2010. You're not a Super Bowl contending team with a brand new offensive line that is just playing together for the first time, with guys that are banged up every year that have been hurt historically, going up against a 49ers defensive line where I was saying last night, all they do is employ dogs. It doesn't matter who is there. They're looking for a certain type of animal to put on that defensive line. Malik Collins, Leonard Floyd, with Javon Hargrave, Joey Bosa. Fred Warner is amazing. Fred, like if I didn't hate the 49ers so much, like Fred Warner might be my favorite player in the NFL. If I didn't watch them kick the Cowboys' ass so many times where Fred Warner is covering CeeDee Lamb, Fred Warner is destroying Tony Pollard, Fred Warner is chasing down Dak Prescott, he is a nightmare. There's no way that the Jets were coming in there and doing anything with them. I don't know what we thought. I tried to talk myself into it, I think just because I had money on the Jets. I'm like, well, you know, I haven't seen the Niners have a dominant performance in a while. They lost the Super Bowl. They struggled against the Lions in the first half. They could have lost to the Packers. They only won those games by a field goal. Kyle Shanahan usually gets himself into some type of predicament. Nah. That's a heavyweight team going up against a welterweight team that's got to get their weight up. 888-808-1019. That's all. That's all. You have some players. Got to get your weight up. I don't know about C.J. Mosley. He might be a little cooked. He might be heading towards washed. Quincy Williams, that's a guy. That's a guy you can count on. That's a guy that's going to be all over the field making plays. Quinnen Williams, yeah. Javon Kinlaw, no. There's a reason why, you know, I just said that the 49ers only employ dogs on that defensive line. There's a reason why the 49ers drafted him and moved on from him. He's not that guy anymore. He's not that way anymore. Might be serviceable for the Jets, but if they think they're winning the Super Bowl, you got to have better up front. You got to have better. You'll be able to survive. You'll be able to survive in the AFC East, but that's not a guarantee either. I know a lot of people seem to think, like, I remember hearing last year when, not even last year, in the offseason, when Trayvon Diggs goes to the Texans. Oh, that's it. You know, and when the Dolphins lose in the first round and they had, you know, so many injuries. Oh, that's it. Jets are winning the division. Not so fast. Not so fast. You look up, the Jets are the last place team in the division. And the Gerard Mayo era with Jacoby Brissett has started off right for the Patriots. Down year last year, but they're a winning organization. They're used to winning. Christian Gonzalez back. They got some guys over there. Nothing is a guarantee. We don't know. It's week one. We're just kind of guessing and figuring out and overreacting. And I think the Jets will be a good team. I think they can win 10 games. I think they can maybe win 11 games if they're healthy, if it all comes together. But I just fear that they're going to have to overcome coaching or lack thereof. Lack of coaches that can make adjustments, that can scheme, that can game plan on a level of, like, just look at the teams that we're looking at this week, man. Look at what Jim Harbaugh did against Antonio Pierce. Arguably, you could say the Raiders have a better roster, have some better players on the roster, like a Devontae Adams, a Max Crosby, but Jim Harbaugh is a good football coach. Andy Reid is a good football coach. Kyle Shanahan is a good football coach. Not for nothing, Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys, Mike Zimmerman being added to that defense is defense. You need good coaching. 1 hour to go. 888-808-1019. Call me up if you'd like to talk Jets, Giants, Yankees, or Mets. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.